Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to Tuesday, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We welcome you back to the Refresh Radio program with Bob Arthurs, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. And right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, we're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the refreshing truth of God's Word. And so I just want you to know, truth never goes out of style. Truth is a great, great peace of mind source in your life. You can lay your head at night and you don't have to wonder how many lies you told that day, how many people you're going to have to cover your tracks for, or anything like that. When you tell the truth, you get to have a clean conscience before God and before men, and it is a great, great benefit to you in your life. With that said, I want to invite you to turn in your scriptures today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are going to be in verse number 10 today is where we're going to start. We're going to read down to verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Okay, if you don't know where that is, it's in the New Testament. You go past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, go past Corinthians. You go past Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and that will bring you to 1 Thessalonians. So you just keep turning towards the back of the book, and it's probably about the middle of the New Testament, maybe just a little bit past the middle of the New Testament. But we're going to be in chapter 2 today. If you're just joining us, we are talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, all the things that humanity needs, all of the basic needs of humanity are going to be added unto us. The food, the clothing, the shelter, the love, the joy, the peace, the emotional connections, the relationships, emotional soundness and body, soul, and spirit, all of that is going to be provided to us. So, a lot of people seek the benefit without going through the right process of seeking, and the right process is seeking righteousness. So we have talked about seeking righteousness. We've talked about seeking God's face. We've talked about seeking justice. And right now we are talking about seeking truth. Okay? A lot of people go to universities. They go to school, and they are looking for truth, and what they end up getting is a lot of opinion. They get philosophy. They get a lot of confusion is what they end up getting, indoctrination and things like that. And, you know, when I was in college, I remember some things that a professor of mine said, and it was like, you know, that's not true. And, you know, most of the colleges that I went to, I was at three, most of them were Christian colleges. There was one that wasn't, but one of my professors at that one was. And so I remember a psychology professor I had at the secular college, and it was like, whoa, that guy is different. There's some things going on. And then there were some other things that were taught in sociology, and it's like, you know, that doesn't line up with God's word. There was another class that I had that a person made a statement about the Bible, and I knew that the statement wasn't true. What I don't know to this day is whether the guy made a misstatement or whether he was trying to test us to see if we would respond to what he said. But either way, what he said didn't line up with the Bible. Now I would say something. People have said, you know, you're a lot more confrontational than I am. And that's like, really? Because in actuality, I hate confrontation. I like to get along. It's like, why can't we just all get along? Why can't we just agree that the Bible is, you know, the rule book for life? It's the instruction manual from the manufacturer saying this is the best way to live. Why can't we do that? If we can't live that way, why can't we say, well, you know, I would like to present this to you, but if you reject it, then you reject it. But society right now wants to deprive Christians of, you know, pretty much the opportunity to be exposed to the word of truth and to embrace the word of truth. So I am a little bit more confrontational now when there is something that someone says that is just absolutely contrary to the word of God. I let the word of God speak for itself. So I'm not subjecting people to my judgments. I want to promote the word of God and say, look, this is the authority in my life. This is the authority at Merit Assembly of God. And so we need to make sure that we understand one another. So I'm not subjecting people to my personal preferences. The word of God is the standard. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, where Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." If you go back and listen to yesterday's program, you will see that Paul commended himself as a minister of God over and over and over again, repeatedly. He said, in every aspect of life, I want to make sure that people know I love and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse number 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's what we've been called into. Verse number 13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. So let's look back here. It says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Okay, so let me take you to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And Jesus here gives us a parable. And he says, let's see, where, verse number 13. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the seed and the sower. And it says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and it takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, yet when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so only endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So the entire point of that parable is that there are people who receive the word differently. They receive the word differently. And you are the one that decides what type of reception you are going to give to the word of God. Okay, so if you wake up in a bad mood when you're on your way to church and you say, man, I dare them to try and get me to believe something today. I am going to be steadfast, immovable. I shall not be moved. Well, you're not going to receive the word of God. You're not going to receive the opportunity to praise God. You're not going to receive the opportunity to share your testimony or to hear someone else's testimony. You're going to deprive yourself of spiritual benefit. If we do not receive the word of God as the word of God, as the word of truth, then we're going to deprive ourselves, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, and it just goes on and on and on from there, all because we did not prepare ourselves to receive. So earlier this year, I was going through my piles on my desk. You may not realize how much material I end up processing, because the things that I am going through on the radio are not necessarily the same things that I am studying and preparing for my sermons. And so I have to go through and my schedule. I mean, I don't have a huge staff. You know, I just don't. I've got an office manager who's there a couple of days a week. I've got a worship leader who takes care of that. But, you know, there's been scheduling challenges and things like that, from health circumstances earlier this year. There's family events and doctor's visits and all those sorts of things that go on. There's a lot. And so, you know, about a month ago, I was at a minister's meeting that I'd made time to go to. And they said, well, how do you do the radio program 5 days a week, as well as preach one or two other times a week? And I said, I study my brains out. I study my brains out. And so, there's all of this, you know, plus, you know, budgets and procurement of needed items at the church. And all. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and it piles up on my desk. And so I call it Mount Desk from time to time. And so I was going through that, and I was reviewing some of the sermons that I preached. And I said, you know, I remember preaching that message. That was a wonderful message. And the title of the message was, Don't Forget the Receiving. Don't Forget the Receiving. And what that message was all about was, it says, ask, and the Greek means to ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, for he who asks receives and keeps on receiving, and he who knocks, the door is opened, and he who seeks keeps on finding. And I titled that message, Don't Forget the Receiving. Many times in churches, we are constantly emphasizing the praying and the asking and the praising and the worshiping and all of that. But you've got to remember that it is not, that's only half of the equation. And so we need to remember that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Don't forget the receiving. And I put another title on there. It said, for those of you who for those of you who do not like contractions, I came up with a title for you. Instead of Don't Forget the Receiving, I said the title is Do Not Forget the Receiving. For those of you who like King James Version, then the title of the message is Thou Shalt Not Forget the Receiving. We need to receive the Word of God as it is, which is the Word of the Living God. Now, there is a another passage, and it says that if you receive a prophet because he is a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man because he is a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. We need to make sure that we receive people as they are. So when the evangelist comes in, I receive him as an evangelist, a person who's going to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, because I know there's a reward that is coming. By the way, it goes on in that passage, and the disciples ask, well, Lord, what about us? What are we going to receive? Because we've left everything. And he said, you will in no wise lose your reward. I just want to encourage you to make sure that you receive things the way that you are supposed to receive them. Okay? Don't forget to prepare yourself to receive. And so you can look those references up. Just type them into your Google search and it'll pull those up. I didn't bring that that reference with me today. So it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The word of God. You know, there are people who, when they approach the word of God, they approach it from the mindset of a skeptic. There are people that when they read about a miracle, they automatically discount that. They said couldn't happen. You know why? Because it's beyond the realm of natural. Well, I want you to know God is not a natural God. He's a supernatural God. He is above nature. The laws of the kingdom supersede all the laws of humanity, because the laws of the kingdom, it's an eternal kingdom. He's the God immortal, eternal, invisible, to the only wise God. We need to realize that not all voices are created equal. You know, a lot of times when you turn on the news, they want to either just present their side of the story, and with many of the news agencies, that's just opinion. News organizations, they share more opinion than they do. I just me talking here to, you know, a few thousand of my closest friends. If there was a news agency out there that presented the facts and let you make up your own mind, I do believe it would blow all the other news organizations out of the water. We are intelligent people. God gave us a brain, and since we gave our hearts to Jesus, that means that our brains work properly. Or should work properly. They should be renewed. We should be in our right mind, not in our upside down mind. Okay? And so there are other people that say, well, we're going to present this side of the story, but we're also going to give equal amount of time to this side of the story. Well, I want you to know the devil does not get the same amount of time to speak into my heart and into my life that God does. God gets his time, he gets the devil's time, he gets everybody else's time. And so you need to receive the word of God as the word of the eternal, immortal, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You need to accept his word as an authoritative word, not as a suggestion, but a commandment, as a powerful word, not an impotent word, as a life-giving word, not a life-stealing word. So the voice of God, the word of God, and the word of the devil, they're not on equal planes. The word of God is not on an equal plane with the word of any man. If it comes to the word of God and the word of someone else, elevate God's word and demote the other person. Because I guarantee you, God's credibility is much more stable than what theirs is. Now, it goes on, And it says, so not only did you receive it as the word of truth, the word of God, but that word also effectively works in you who believe. Why is it so important for us to go to church? There are lots and lots of reasons. Okay? And one of the reasons is because whenever we go to church, we're going to hear not just the same old Bible stories, not the same old sermon that we've heard over and over and over again, but instead we're going to hear the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Word of God which is true, the Word of God which is powerful, the Word of God that penetrates to the joints and the marrow. Listen to what the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 says. It says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. Okay? So when we go to church, we're hearing a fresh word, the daily manna from heaven. And that word is not supposed to just be welcomed as the Word of God, but it's also supposed to effectively work in us. Okay? So when you hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God quickens that word, the response should be that there's an action plan that takes place. Okay? God, how can you change the way that I think, the way that I've always thought, into how you want me to think? If you're going to renew my mind, what does that look like? How can I process? Is there a person that can help me anytime I want to fall back into my old way of thinking? Can you give me somebody who will help me to live this way that, listen, every person, if you're alive and breathing, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. So I can be on the radio on Monday talking about weekends. I can be on weekends talking of, or on Fridays talking about Mondays. I listen to myself sometimes and it's like, where did that come from? You know, why did I say that? But the Word of God is not just meant for your neighbor. The Word of God is meant to effectively work in you. So here a couple of months ago, I was reading through the Bible in my daily devotions. I was in the Old Testament, and I read about Mephibosheth, and I've preached about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. It was the son of Jonathan, who was in covenant with David, and Mephibosheth was injured. And all of a sudden, I saw something as I was reading through that, and the Word of God effectively and powerfully worked in me. And you say, well, what was it? It was a simple statement like this. If you were reading it, you might just pass over it. But it said, this person who was once in line to the throne of Israel, because his grandfather was king, his father was supposed to succeed him in Saul's mind, and then that would have made him in line for the throne. And all of that changed in a moment. He was injured. He was lame. He required servants to be able to accomplish anything. And the Word of God says this, Mephibosheth had a son named Micah. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, there was a person, because he was just a toddler when he was injured. I guarantee you, he wasn't married as a toddler. At some point in time, God had demonstrated to Mephibosheth a faithfulness that he had a lady who was willing to embrace his inadequacies, his incapacitation, and say, you know what? I love you not for what you are able to do. I love you because I love you. And so even though he had no strength in his legs and he was paralyzed, there was a person that came along and said, God wants me to marry you. And in the course of that marriage, Mephibosheth had a son. Now, that in itself was fantastic. I'd never paid any attention to it. But the thing that really struck me was he named his son Micah. And Micah means this: there is no one like God. There is no one like God. Now, I don't know how bad life has treated you, but from the time Micah was born until the time that David brought him in before the throne and said, look, I'm going to treat you like a member of the family, and I'm going to treat you well because of who your father was, God had taken care of Mephibosheth, and he said, there's nobody like God. In spite of all of the bad things that have happened to me, there's no one like God. In spite of what my body cannot do, there is no one like God. I tell you, that word began to effectively work in me, and it was just a little innocent statement right there in the Word of God, but it captivated me. It was a blessing to me, and I shared it with the men of my church. Whatever you're going through today, I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes and let the Word of God effectively work in you. Receive the Word of God as the authoritative Word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not a suggestion, not somebody that just has an opinion, but a person who knows what he's talking about, who loves you, who gave his very life for you, that he works all things together for your good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. And instead of living your life in bitterness, say, you know what? God is good and his mercy endures forever. And there is no one like God. There is no one that deserves my time more than God. No one that deserves my love more than God. And no one will ever treat me as good as God has treated me. God bless you today. There is no one like God. Look to him. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Just he has ransomed me. A slave to sin.